2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I've entitled our message this morning, The Good Report. And we're going to look at the brotherhood, the boasting, the backing, and the blessing as we pick our verses apart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. May your word come alive. May we focus on your word. Father, may it be of great value to our lives, and may we desire and seek to you to speak to us individually and not to be just hearers of the word, but doers. And so, Father, we thank you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hey, you know, I've entitled the message, Good Report. And, you know, we all remember being in school and the big day comes when you get your report card. Dun, dun, dun. Right? So all the joy of having a good report card, and you're walking home from school, there's a little skip in your bounce. It seems like all the birds are singing and everything's great. Oh, but the agony of a bad report card. Oh, just knowing that when mom and dad open that envelope and pull that out, all the horror. I can tell you this because I think that's the story of my life. But nevertheless, there are different, you know, and as I thought about good report cards and bad report cards, I thought I'd look up some quotes. And I didn't find too many, but I thought I'd look up some quotes, and I wanted something a little different other than, you know, my dog ate my homework or I got abducted by aliens. But something that people would say, the young people would say when they get a bad report card. And here's a couple that I thought were kind of cool. What's the point? Here you go, the first one. What's the point of studying for finals if they're not really the final? We're coming back next year. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Or how about this? You know, if Twitter, YouTube, Google, and Facebook were a part of my school curriculum, how proud my parents would be of me. It's true. It's true. But I want you to know this. As we look into this study, there's a huge difference between school and life. In school, we are taught lessons and then given a test. In life, we are given a test that helps us to learn lessons. It teaches us the lessons we need. Now, when we look at the Church of Thessalonica, if you remember, this church is under persecution. They are being persecuted quite dramatically. In fact, we know at this time, Paul is now converted to Christianity, but he was persecuting the Christians. He was putting them to death. And this has continued. Now, of course, we know Paul has become the hunted. But this church is going through a lot of persecution. There were some people telling this church that the reason they were going through persecution is because they were failing God and God was angry with them. And some were saying even that they were already in the tribulation and that's why life was so difficult for them. But we'll see. That isn't the case at all. Not in our Christian walk. Not in God's economy. That is not the case at all. There is a conjecture that, you know, when Paul sent the delivery guy with the first letter, that he delivered the letter, he looked around, he saw what was going on, he ran back to Paul, he told Paul, and Paul immediately felt the need to send a second letter. And that's why I agree with most commentators that believe that both these letters were written within the same year, around 51 AD. And the reason why I tell you that date is because we know at this time through history that the Christians were persecuted quite severely, even to death. And by the way, there are a lot of Christians that will die today because of their faith. There are young people who are being brutalized because of their faith. And so we here in America are immune, but not everywhere in America, not everywhere in the world. Are they immune? So hang that thought on your belt. But I've entitled our message this morning, Good Report, and you'll see why. This is not a bad report, this is a good report. And we start with the brotherhood in verse 1 through 2. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we see here are three guys. First of all, we know who Paul is. We've been following Paul. We talked about Paul. Who's this Silvanus? Silvanus is none other than Silas. Don't let that throw you. And if you're familiar with your Bible at all, you know over in the books of Acts, Paul and Silas traveling together, they got incarcerated. And of course, we know that Paul and Silas began to sing psalms, sing out to the Lord while they were incarcerated. Under extreme conditions, they were praising God. And of course, the ground shook, the chains fell off, and the door opened, and all that stuff. So that's who, it's someone that Paul has, a traveling companion, and someone that he is discipling. And then, of course, we come to Timothy. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. It was someone that he had led to the Lord, and now this was a guy who was traveling with him, but it was like his own son. They were close, and he was discipling him. So that's who these three guys are. Now, notice this. They're three brothers in faith, and what they're doing is they're reaching out. They're traveling around making converts and trying to minister to the different churches that Paul had planted seeds and had begun, trying to encourage. And what I see in this, I see some very important lessons. First of all, these guys were in ministry. They were very close. They were discipling. And guess what? They're not. They're not a clique. They're not a clique. They're reaching out to the Thessalonians. They're reaching out. They're going around trying to gather more people into their group. Listen, in ministry, there is no room for cliques. Not in God's house. Not in God's economy. Not by God's Spirit. That's not His desire. Listen, if you are in ministry and you travel in the same circles with the people that you serve with, then that's pretty much it. There's a problem. There's a problem. Your fellowship needs to extend beyond. In fact, your fellowship should even go to the point of sometimes having fellowship with people you're not comfortable with, because how else are you going to develop new fellowships and also encourage? By the way, that's why I encourage potlucks. Not just because I like to eat, but because, more importantly, it allows us to break bread together, to be intimate together. And by the way, even in this culture here, it was a very intimate thing. You just didn't have a meal with just anybody. It was only people you were close with. And that's what we want to build. We want to build a family of believers.